Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this satsang, as we like to call it, this radio program, is being recorded for Saturday, January 28, 2017. We're going to look at a really, really difficult subject today. It borderlines on the whole idea of depression and the things we go through that often do depress us. And a lot of that has to do with the way we live our life so quietly in our discontent. So we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to thank my sponsors, and I want to remind those of you who are listening to this radio program that it is only here due to the generosity and the loving support of my sponsors who make all this possible. If it were not for their sponsorship, their donations, this radio program and our TV programs would not be airing here on the website that we have at aspire.org. So I hope you'll go take a look at the TV programs that are there as well. Enjoy the radio programs that are there. There are lots of them. And I hope that one day you'll decide to become a sponsor to help us. People feel helpless, hopeless, unhappy. I get it all the time in emails. I see it all the time in my work at hospice. It's a real problem. And when I start looking at people and the situations that they fall into karmically, without any kind of understanding about their karma, what even karma means, and then they have their family lineage, which is filled with depression and alcoholism and drug addiction, you start to really realize that it's very hard to govern all of these kinds of people. It's very hard to help them. They need a lot of help, but there is no way to get to them to really help them because the disease precedes everything that they do. It's all about sustaining their disease, whether it be in depression or alcoholism or drug addiction. It really doesn't matter. And now we have what I look at as a technology addiction. So we're an addicted, obsessive, compulsive society that is always looking for something to be enthralled in, engaged in, and we miss the whole deal of what our life is all about, and it gets kind of hairy. So I chose three questions that came to me in the last 4 months. I hope that I'm able to help these four people. They have been notified of the radio program, and they're listening to it on the website at aspire.org so they can catch the program. First one comes from Janice in Portland, Oregon. Why, Greg? Why do I feel so hopeless? My life, my work, my world, it all seems so pointless, Janice. Janice, it does look pointless when you look at it from the pedestrian mentality that all of us possess. You look at your life, you look at your world, you look at the way things are, how difficult things are, how difficult it is to survive in this world. And the reason being because we had no sense of symmetry inside of us. Our parents, their parents, having children, they couldn't really afford having children. They couldn't really deal with emotionally or psychologically. Coming from a background of a lineage of drug addiction and alcoholism, people don't think about that. They get drunk, they have sex, and then they have babies. And that's about the way it works a lot of the time. And there are a lot of things to take into account before you bring in a human life into this world. But most people don't take any of that into account. They don't think they have to. And, oh, look what God gave us, this little bundle of joy. But in the end, it doesn't really turn out like that, does it? So you're looking at a lot of karma. You're looking at a lot of people who have no idea what the world is all about, what the laws of the universe dictate to us, to help us, to love us, to keep us, shall we say, in the way. And we don't care to. We don't think we have to. And it doesn't appeal to us because it just doesn't matter to us. It doesn't matter. We look at things, we hear things, we see things in the news. It all becomes so pointless to so many people. But I am telling you, every life is significant. Every life is important. And yours, Janice, is very, very important. And it should never be taken for granted. There is something you are here to realize. Something you are here to awaken to. And if you awaken to it and you can realize it, you're going to find a deep and profound change in your life. Something quite meaningful and unexpected. Now, for every person, it has to be found in their own way. It can't be found in the way I think it should be found. It has to be found in your way. You have to realize through all the trials and tribulations that we go through in the course of a lifetime, why we are here, what we are doing, and what the meaning of our existence is. And once you begin to understand the nature of all of that, in the sense of being open to it, you might get some information that would be helpful. But here's the problem, and here's the rub. Most people don't have the psychology to support the bigger picture, to be able to appreciate it, to understand it, and to awaken to its meaning. Most people just don't have that kind of inner gear. They're so busy trying to get what they want, to survive their life, to have a few pleasures in this world, or to have as many as they can get, that they don't really have the ability anymore to see beyond their own little life circumstances that seem so painful to them. And that's the issue. You're asking a question here, my darling, that is beyond the probably reasonability of your own thinking. And because you think in a way probably that is very, emotional, pedestrian mentality, just going off of what you see other people doing, living off your lineage, your genetic disposition, there is no way to open up a door for you to see beyond what is beyond. And it's very frustrating for you, I am sure, as it is even for me to talk to you like this and say to you, Janice, you are love. You are everything that is important. Deep inside you is the presence of everything that is absolutely essential to your life. But I can say that till I'm blue in the face. And what will it matter? Really, what will it matter? It won't matter a hill of beans. Because you'll only hear it as ideas and thoughts. And the object of inner work is to go beyond ideas and thoughts. To go to the direct experience that lives directly inside of your heart. It is only your heart that can tell you the reason, the purpose, the meaning. Don't be looking for hope in the world. This is why we meditate. This is why we work so hard upon ourselves, so diligently, so consistently. Because you'll never know with your mind geared towards technology, logic, reasoning, right, wrong, good, bad. You'll never know. I swear to you, you'll never know. And because you'll never know, you'll never advance. You'll never blossom. All we think about is stories. We make up stories in our heads that aren't true about everyone and everything. Nothing is the way I perceive it in my mind, in my intellect, in my Greg. Greg's emotional. He can be, if I allowed myself, he could be crazy, nutcase. He could be. But I don't go there with him. I don't live from that. Yes, he's there, but you don't give it credence. You don't give it that much time. You don't deny it, but you don't accept it either. It is about, I know that that lives inside me, but I'm not going there. You have to cultivate consciousness. And that is derived out of meditation. That is derived out of acceptance of love in you, that you are this beautiful love. And it's not an emotional love. It is a love that is greater than emotion and passion. And those are things that make people crazy. It's called obsession. Don't be fooled by this word of passion and think, oh, if I have passion, you'll be in obsession. You want to be balanced. You want to be able to live in the world, but not let the world live in you. A balance, an inner balance is so necessary. Janice, if you keep going the way you are, you'll wind up on medication. And most people just find it easier to go to a doctor and get some Zoloft or whatever and just go along living their life. And that's the way most of us go. We create chemical imbalances within us, and it gets rather hairy. You can do what you need to do with your life. You can find great love in it, great meaning if you seek it. It's there. It doesn't need hope. It needs a mind that can recognize it and a heart that can realize it. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is hard to help people long distance. It's very frustrating when they have bought into their body, their mind, the chemistry of themselves. Every body has the chemistry. And we live by this chemistry in our brains and our bodies. And, you know, it just runs the whole show. But if you ever want to go beyond all that, it is possible. But to do it, you have to be able to live in consciousness. You have to practice. You have to persevere, especially when you don't feel like it. Next one comes from Alexandra. And where does she live? Oh, in New Hampshire. Wow. Can we really help the world? Do you think you did in your life? Alexandra. I have been told I have, and while I appreciate all of that, I don't take it to heart. I really don't. I'm there to be in service, and to me, there's a difference to being in service to people and that of helping them. Helping them means I relieve them of something. I assist them in getting something that they believe they want and should have. And that's not my aim as a teacher or as a person. My aim is to be of service to them, to humble myself enough to do what I can do and beyond, if I can find the beyond within me, to serve a part of their being that they do not know exists, Alexandra. I try to help you through this radio program and talk to you about things that live inside you that are not relevant to your ego, your pride, your personality, your lineage, your genetics, your DNA. It is a very difficult thing to say to a human being, you are not your DNA, you are not your lineage, you are not your genetic disposition. It's very difficult to say that to them because they don't believe me. Do you think that Buddha or Jesus were some kind of spiritual thoroughbreds? Buddha came from parents that were quite wealthy. His father was a king. His father wanted him to become a king. Jesus, on the other hand, came from a different kind of background. In his blood, I am told from what I have read, and I don't know if any of this is true, he comes from some kind of royalty too. But I don't know if that's really true. But he has far more humble background. So it doesn't matter if you're the king or the background of a peasant, a carpenter. It doesn't matter. What really matters is, do you feel the pull inside? Alexandra, I am trying to help you right now. But how can I help you when you are listening to me from the mentality of, will he be able to answer the question in my mind and help me fulfill my emotions? Because isn't that what it's all about? Just fulfilling emotionality? Of course it is. That's all anybody cares about is emotion. Passion, emotion, passion, emotion. Women love to get carried away with their passions. They like to be passionate. It is all these things that we assume that are good, that aren't so good, that bring us into hate and fear without us even knowing how we got there. So if you want to live your life the way most people choose to live their life, you're going to be living it in a way which is extremely painful, seemingly very exciting because it's passionate, and you're going to miss. To really help someone, you have a choice. You either serve them or you give them what they think they want. What do? You have a person who maybe wants something very much, and it's not in their best interest to really get that. Do you help them get it because they're so passionate about getting it? I knew a man once. He was supposedly in love with a woman who was very self-destructive. She was an alcoholic. She hid it from him, but she had a lot of personal problems, mental and emotional, very much so. So he wanted this woman, and I asked him why, and he said, oh, it's the best sex I've ever had. She's the perfect woman. She looks perfect to me. I just want her. I want to marry her, blah, blah, blah. Well, they had these, you know, back and forth arguments and breakups, and it was just high drama all the blooming time with both of them. He was not an alcoholic, but he was certainly a person who would facilitate her behaviors. He gave her everything she wanted and more. All she really wanted was money and stuff. That's all she really wanted. She didn't want anything else. She wasn't capable of having a relationship. I met her on quite a few occasions, and I could see this isn't going to work, but he wanted her. So he kept saying to me, please help me understand her. Help me, you know, get her back. They broke up, and they were broke up for about 3 or 4 months. Finally, you know, they somehow got back together again, got married. They were married for a month, and then she took off with somebody else, and that was the end of that. And she took him for everything she could get, money, furniture, all sorts of things. Did I help him? I could have said to him, if I were helping him, oh, gee, this is really a wonderful woman, and here's how you can get her back and go talk to her and do this. Instead, I told him, no, I don't think this is the woman for you. I don't think you ought to be fooling with this. And he got very angry at me, of course. And in the end, he found out I was right. And did he ever come back and say anything about it? Oh, yeah, he did. Sheepishly, but he did. It was all a very difficult thing. But he looked at me at the end and he said, you were the only one that said she wasn't what I thought she should be and thought she really was. And he said, I wish I had listened. But no one listens. No one listens to that which they don't want to hear. People have their ideas of what are going to make them happy. And most of these things that people believe that will make them happy only self-destruct them. So what can I say? What can I do? Did I help him? Did I serve him? I think about serving people's hearts, not their heads. I think about serving their being and not their desires, ambitions, and prides. I think in terms of living my life in accord with that which is in the best interest of another person to help them awaken spiritually. Sometimes I'm successful, Alexandra, and sometimes I'm not. Just depends. On the moon and the stars, the way the planets are aligned. No, it just depends on if that person can hear. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from James, and he does not tell me where he lives. I'm so unhappy, Greg. I'm unhappy about this world. I'm unhappy about the way things are going. It seems more competitive and dog-eat-dog. I tell my daughter to be very wary of the world. Am I helping her? What should I do? James. Well, you know, James, the first thing I'd say to you, if you were here, is you already screwed up by having a kid, okay? You did. You just... This is not the kind of world you bring children into, but it is the kind of world you bring children into, if you know what I mean. First thing is you're going to have to, if you were really going to help her and serve her well, you would have to accentuate the spiritual end of her life. In other words, help her see the bigger picture. Don't create beliefs and theories and dogmas and all sorts of crazy stuff. Teach her the way inside her heart, the way of love. Teach her how to have a different kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle where you are doing things out of compassion and loving kindness, not because it gives you spiritual brownie points, but because it's the only way to help, to truly help. You would have to change your mode of operandi, your way you live, the style of your living, your lifestyle. And instead of living it to survive and have some entertainment, some fun here and there, it has to be a flow. The flow of kindness, the flow of beauty, the flow of love constantly flowing into your life. Teach her about love coming from her heart and not from other people. To teach a child that love comes from other people is a terrible thing to do to a child. It really is, because they actually believe that's what's happening. That by being with another person, they can secretly be themselves, which usually has to do with being someone that isn't too kind or loving, and then at the same time get away with it because this person loves them. This is why people have children. They have children because they know that they own that kid and that kid's a part of them, so they can do whatever they want and say, well, I'm your parent, you have to love me the way I am, blah, blah. I've heard it all. Really, James, you would have to educate your child to seek love from within themselves, from within their own heart, and then how to give that love back into the world and let love live them rather than desire, ambition, and pride, which is not something that is popular here in the West. But maybe you can do it. Teach her not to have any more children, really. Take a look at that one. We don't need any more. We've got more than enough, just the way it is. I'm out of here. Thank you, James, and please forgive me, baby. If you have a comment, a question, or something I could help you with, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see media. If you pull that down, that little button down, you will see Satsang with Suraj, that be me, and you can leave a question, a comment, whatever you like. It's all there for you. Take a look at some of my videos, too. I think you'll find the Aspire TV show a lot of fun. I'm out of here. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you will join me. Thank you for listening. And once again, please forgive me, won't you? Eh? Namaste.